Hi, everybody. This is Nate. I'm the host of the podcast I Got Pushed, an Island podcast. And today with me is my best friend, Crystal.
Hi, everyone.
Hello, hello. And we're so excited. We just watched the first episode of part two, episode 7 of Island.
Yes.
And we're going to kind of talk about, first we're going to introduce ourselves a little bit more, and then we'll start talking about our favorite moments of the episode and how it left us feeling. And I mean, if it left us feeling certain ways, I'm sure that it left you guys feeling certain ways too. So I'm really excited to talk about it. But first off, like I said, my name is Nathan. I'm 29 years old. And I am a K-pop enthusiast. I've been listening to K-pop since 2018 when BTS came out with their Love Yourself Answer album. I went to go buy it at a secondhand shop because there was nowhere else in my city that sold K-pop albums. And yeah, what about you, Crystal?
So my first exposure to K-pop was thanks to you, Nathan. It was back in 2019 where you started first introduce me to a lot of their songs.
Yeah.
And I was enjoying it, but it never really captured me the way that it has until recently. And I wish that it had sooner because in 2019, you and I saw their Map of the Soul concert in theaters, which was a pretty great experience.
The Bring the Soul concert. Yeah. And it was so like, it was really good. We both had a good time. And like, the reason that I invited you is because I knew that, I mean, you love different cultures like I do. Mm-hmm. You love different languages and you've always been into Asian culture like I have. So mm-hmm. I knew that you would like it. So I'm really glad that Crystal has onboarded with the whole K-pop process. But yeah, so, when I mentioned Island to you for the first time, what did you think?
I was intrigued by it. I was definitely intrigued because I think how you phrased it to me or how we've talked about it since is that it's kind of a mashup between American Idol, Big Brother, and
some other shows that are like that. Music shows, like The Voice.
Yeah, like The Voice.
Yeah, and I think that actually there's something really good that I want to touch on really quick is like, I don't think that a lot of the audience of Island has watched Big Brother. And so I feel like I'm a little bit conditioned to watch reality shows and like survival shows, like competition shows. And so sometimes like when I see people on Stan Twitter talking about like, this is so difficult, this is so hard for me to watch, like I kind of feel like I'm a little bit desensitized because like I've watched 22 seasons of Big Brother now. They're on their 22nd season right now as
right.
Island is airing as well. And so I just like, I come at it with like an open mind and I guess I just don't have as much of a visceral response as some people do.
Right. I mean, that's what the show is at its core. It's an elimination show. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of us are having a hard time when we get really attached to these people to watch them voted off. But, you know, those of us who grew up watching Survivor and things like that, I mean, it's hard to watch your favorites
get voted
off. We're showing
our age.
I know, we are showing,
our age.
But yeah, by the way, I'm 29 also.
Yeah,
91. I'll just share that.
You're a 90 liner,
I'm
though.
A 90 liner.
I'm a 91 liner.
Yeah.
So hi, all of you Aggies out there. but it's been quite an experience getting into Island, don't you think?
It has been. I'm absolutely hooked. I look forward to it every week.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Yeah, I can't get enough.
It's when we get together and we get to have our friend time, which is really precious to me.
It is really precious.
Yeah. But okay, so let's talk about Island. Who is your bias?
My bias is Kay. It's definitely Kay.
Yeah.
I love Kay so much. I think that he has a lot of leader qualities about him.
Yeah.
Even though it doesn't show as much on the show, like with Hee-sung, but I don't know. I really support Kay. Mm-hmm. And then my bias wrecker is probably Jay.
Yeah. Yeah, but your initial bias on Island was
It was Youngbin.
Yeah. Let's talk about that for a second because, you know, as you guys know, if hopefully you've watched the episode by now, this will be airing on Monday. We're recording on Saturday, the 15th. Youngbin's no longer with us in the program.
I know.
But how do you feel about that?
You know, I'm sad. I think that he still has a lot of potential, and I think that he can really only go up from here.
Yeah.
He got exposure on the show, which I think is really important for all of us to remember, mm-hmm. that even those who got voted off, they still have so many more opportunities ahead of them now, and I think that that's great. But no, I'm really sad to see Youngbin go. I thought that he was really great. a sweetheart, had potential, seemed charismatic, but he was a newer trainee.
Yeah, and so exactly. He still
has time to grow.
Lots of time to grow. I've really been connected to a lot of the trainees that haven't been training for very long. Mm-hmm. Youngbin, Sanu, and Jake. I you know, that crown team was so good. You know, you and I were both really impressed by them.
Yes.
But Youngbin was just really great. I threw some votes to him during the first round when he got eliminated. I was so sad today.
I know, me too.
But my bias is Jay, so I didn't feel the exact same feelings of like I don't want to say sad. I did feel sad through the whole episode, right. Truly. But like, I didn't feel that longing for the people that I grew to love so much on the program. Jay is my favorite because I just identify with his spirit so much. He's so headstrong, mm-hmm. and he's constantly going 150% for everything that he wants.
Yeah.
Especially during the first couple of episodes and when they had the first test and he was going after part after part after part. I identified so deeply with it. So, you know.
He's incredibly tenacious.
Shout out to the Blue Jays. I love you guys. Yeah. The voting fan base. My bias wrecker... It's really interesting. My bias record right now is Jungwon, the hidden ace. Mm-hmm, I absolutely have loved Jungwon, and his performances have been so passionate. Mm-hmm. And when he won twice, I kind of flipped. I was like, good for you. Because in the beginning, like, everybody was very timid. And he was in one of those test groups that he was the only person who made it through.
Right.
Yeah. Which and is so, incredible. Yeah. And so I'm loving some Jungwon too.
Me too.
So those are our biases. As for our views on the program, I think that you and I are pretty on board together. Mm-hmm. So I'm on Stan Twitter quite a lot. Well, now I have the podcast Twitter, but I also have my my personal K-pop Stan Twitter at Hyung Nate. Go follow me. The general consensus is that Mnet's editing has been kind of evil. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. I want to kind of go into the hot topics because I have very limited time with Crystal today. So I want to hit all of the really spicy, juicy parts of this podcast while I'm with her. But so let's talk about Mnet evil editing.
Let's talk about it.
So on Stan Twitter last night, I was, you know, scurrying through the dumpster bins of the internet. And I saw somebody post a clip. I can't remember which group it was, but this group was talking about how Mnet was called the devil of editing.
Oh, wow.
And that they don't do anything on an Mnet program while filming that they don't want to be shown to their fans and misconstrued.
Interesting.
So what's your opinion on the editing of the program? We watched, you know, episode 7 today, and a lot of the stands have been talking about the demonization of Kay, your bias. Right. So what are your opinions on that?
Yeah, no, I can definitely see where there's issues with the editing. It's really hard because we're just being fed what they show us. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't know what's going on or why somebody's necessarily making the face that they're making or why they're shaking their head at that precise moment. Mm. It could be completely unrelated actually to what had just happened on screen. It's hard to know with editing like that.
Yeah.
But the way that they show it, I mean, I think some people, we react a certain way with our face and and our emotions, and it's not necessarily negative. I know a lot of people are saying about Kay just, you know, shaking his head, mm-hmm. you know, based on where other people ranked ahead of him.
Yeah.
But I think with him, I don't think it's him feeling resentment necessarily towards those other team members.
Yeah.
Or applicants, I should say. Uh-huh. I think for him, he is struggling with the global voting, the concept of it in general.
Yeah. And a lot of the fans have too. They've mm-hmm. they've voiced their opinion on Twitter saying like, you know, I don't trust the fans.
Right.
There's a lot of popularity that comes with that. And like, I'm very aware that the audience of this program is much younger. And mm-hmm. so it's something that's much more prevalent in their lives, like right now.
Yes.
Popularity, you know, at school, mm-hmm. in life. And so like, it's a very, it's at the forefront of their minds. And so like, they completely understand innately what that popularity struggles like, and we did too in high school.
Absolutely.
You know, you and I weren't popular per se. I mean, like, we both had groups of friends that we were with, but we weren't considered popular.
Right.
But I think that the global voting is really interesting dynamic. I think that there are those who truly do vote based on talent mm-hmm. and on somebody's potential, but right. there are definitely those who vote because of somebody's visuals or just because of their personality.
Or just their bias. I mean,
exactly.
And I mean, of course, we're all going to vote our bias.
I mean,
too,
obviously, but... I voted for Jay every freaking day. Right. Like, it was no cap. Like,
yeah,
come on.
Absolutely.
Like,
Jay and Kay.
Jay, you know, Kay, we were hitting it. You know, you and I, Youngbin, every day, bro. It's like, come on.
I know.
But yeah, I mean, I think that the popularity and the global vote is an interesting piece of program that's meant to create a group for a company mm-hmm. that has a bit like a business. It's we have to remind ourselves that, like, even though we love K-pop and we get attached to these idols like and these trainees, that these are businesses that have a bottom mm-hmm. line.
Absolutely.
And they want to debut a group that's successful, mm-hmm. cohesive, professional, and sometimes our opinions don't match that mission.
Exactly.
So it's a very interesting dynamic.
It is.
Speaking of the ranked vote, the ranking of the trainees, that's kind of a crazy thing to throw in.
Yes.
And that's also very unpopular amongst Stan Twitter as well. Not only the global vote, but the ranking system now.
Right.
What do you think about the ranking system? Initial thoughts.
My initial thoughts when I saw it, I didn't love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. You know, they're giving them perks, they're giving them continued incentive.
Yeah.
Which is, okay, that's kind of key. But I think that they're all pretty incentivized already. So for me, I don't love the ranking. I mean, I guess it makes sense. This is how they're going to move forward with the show. But mm-hmm. yeah, initial thoughts were, I don't love it.
Yeah. I, on the other hand, I'm a different perspective. I actually support the ranked system. I think this is actually really good because we didn't rehearse this, that we both have like opposing viewpoints, because I kind of support the ranking system. And, you know, the K-pop industry has used the ranking system with their trainees for decades. And even some of our favorites, you know, BTS, some of my favorites, Pentagon and Stray Kids, who have also had elimination programs, had a ranking system to a degree. And so let's talk about the pros and cons, because I think since you and I are on different ends of the perspective, we'll have a good conversation about it.
Mm-hmm.
There are some pros and cons of the ranked system, and I'm going to give some pros and you give some cons. And I think that together we'll come up with a pretty comprehensive list for the listeners. So my pros for the ranked system are it forces the trainees to experience life and training with members that they are not used to being with. So for example, like during episode 7, they revealed that trainees, based on their ranking, will be staying in different rooms together. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
For example, in room number 1, we have Sonu, Daniel, and Hisung. And they're all three very different characters. 2 are grounders.
Mm-hmm.
1 was an always islander.
Mm-hmm.
And so what do you think about that dynamic?
I think it's a really interesting dynamic. I think mm-hmm. Hisung is feeling maybe even slightly out of place for once,
mm-hmm.
having always been an islander.
Yeah.
I think that room dynamic is probably really interesting, but I think it'll be good for him to get more perspective and to be able to get closer to them, because now they are islanders, all
yeah.
of them.
That's exactly my thought. Like, when in the past has Hisung been given the opportunity to really spend time with Sunwoo? And I don't mean that in a bad way. Like, they have spent time in the past because Sunwoo was in Island in a previous round.
Right.
But, like, he gets this opportunity now to spend time with 2 people that they're not his best friends, obviously. Hisung is really close to Gonu. He's really close to Kay,
mm-hmm.
But he hasn't been as close to Sunwoo and Daniel. So I think that there's a really great opportunity in it. But let's give a con. What's a con?
A con. Well, I guess what I see right off the bat already is this this kind of jealousy happening. You can kind of
yeah.
see in all their faces. And it's, and again, I think it stems from the way that the voting happened,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the global voting and then, you know, versus producer voting. I don't know. I think it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
Just to see if that creates just a divisive environment,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because before they always had to work together. It's like, okay, we're a team of 12 here.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it could just be a little more a little more cutthroat, maybe.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And I felt that throughout the whole entire episode. Once the ranking system got introduced, it's like shit got real.
It did, fast.
Yeah, really real. It didn't seem like that in part one. It's like common goal, everybody together, even when they were apart, even when there were people in Island who were like, I need to spend a little bit of time individually practicing on my own. There was still a collective sense of like, we're all in this together. But now part two, it's become very clear, like my destiny is in my hands and yep. nobody else's.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that's going to put a lot of added stress on everyone, and it might kind of hurt the sense of community that they had. Yeah. And that could be bad down the road when we actually have a group of seven.
Oh, that's really good.
Right? Because what's going to happen, who's going to be hurting who to get there? And yeah. not even maybe necessarily intentionally.
Yeah.
But just think about that dynamic. And so then when you finally do end up with that group of seven, what did that road to that look like?
Exactly. I also want to mention that during BTS's visit on today's episode, the members spoke about their placements when they were trainees at Big Hit. And I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Suga. And I think Jimin was speaking on it as well. Like he sat down in like the sixth seat and he's like, yeah, I think I was like fifth or sixth.
Yeah.
And at first I was thinking, oh, well, if BTS did it, like, it's fine. But then I thought, like, damn, Suga's been holding on to that his entire career. He's been an idol for seven and a trainee for how much longer before that?
Right.
And that number still sticks with him. Like, exactly. It's like it's tattooed on his mind. Like, mm-hmm. yep, I was sixth. But, like, obviously, BTS has moved on past that point. They're global idols now. They're popular throughout the world. And, like, that self-confidence didn't come from their trainee years, but through ARMY and through other experiences that they've had as a band so far. So I don't know. Yeah, I think I still support the ranked system, mm-hmm. but I think that the con that you've brought up today is like really thoughtful. And I think that it's really important for our audience to know, like, it's okay to have a difference of opinion.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make us enemies. Like, we're all here for Island.
Right.
Yeah. Like, everything that we talk about in regards to Island is all because we love the music, we love the performances, mm-hmm. and now we're starting to get to know the trainees and get attached. And when you start getting attached to these trainees, it's like, it's like watching your best friend like get crushed on screen. You're just oh my God.
It is.
Like, for example, today we saw the 10 applicants who didn't make it into Island leave. And that was really rough for all of us.
It was really emotional.
Multiple times I heard you say, like, this is so intense. Like, this is just, like, too much.
The music, the building. Like, I can't.
The whole thing.
My heart.
Yeah, the
was
whole
racing.
Well, because, again, we mentioned, just like we did during the first episode, it's like, this feels like the fucking Hunger Games.
It does. Seriously. It's so intense. Or it feels like a Black Mirror episode. Really bad's going
to
happen.
I remember that was the first thing that you mentioned to me when we first watched Island, which is like, this is exactly like Black Mirror.
It feels like it.
The 10 applicants that didn't make it in. I have a list right here because we wanted to pay homage to them today for their great work and their hard training. None of it is lost on us. We are all very appreciative to them, and I wish them very long careers. I know that I'm going to be following some of them.
Oh,
post
me too.
Island.
Absolutely.
I mean, Youngbin.
Yes, we have to follow Youngbin.
You know. So the first one that we have on the list today is Seon. Now, I must say, Seon got the shit end of the stick.
Mm-hmm.
I feel really bad for him. He had been training for 4 years and 5 months before Island.
Yeah.
And he was also on Produce 101 Season 2, which is a very popular elimination program in Korea. He just really didn't get treated well, I think, by both the producers and... mostly by the producers.
Right.
Because he was loved by the Islanders.
He was.
Yeah.
And I think that you can kind of see it in his face, at least with this episode 7, that you get the sense that he's thinking this is the end of the line for him almost, because he's been in it so long. But I hope he doesn't have that takeaway. And I hope nobody else does either, because there's really...
There's still time.
Yeah, there's still time.
Well, and he showed a lot of leadership quality.
The whole time. He's such a great mediator. He was trying to bring everybody together and problem solve always.
Truly, truly. Speaking of leaders, a segue into J-Ho. And during the, I'm going to call it the 6.2 episode, which was the island special that they aired, they mentioned that J-Ho was like the leader of ground. He very much led all of the grounders to agreement on a lot of the issues. Mm-hmm. He didn't get enough screen time.
Not at all.
It's just really frustrating. He was also on an elimination program called World Class and went to the famous Hanlim Art School, which is the same school that I believe Jungkook and other BTS idols have gone to as well.
Wow.
So
okay.
We miss you, J-Ho. Mm-hmm. Fellow Aries, I just like... I felt the energy every time he was on screen, and maybe that's like a little bit like crunchy hippie of me, but like I feel Aries people when they're on the screen. There's that fire sign, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just like, I would see him on the screen. I was like, J-Ho, I want to see more of him. So I'm hoping the best for him in the future as well. Now, third up, we have J-Bomb. Mm. Now, J-Bomb was in Island a few times. Yeah. I mean, he had a great voice. Mm-hmm. From what I've heard from J-Bomb stans, he has produced his own recordings. Like, he does recording and composing.
Lovely.
Yeah, and but he's only been training for 6 months.
Oh, wow.
He's one of those young trainees as well. Mm-hmm. He was in the Monsta X unit with Sungchul and Jimin. They sang Shootout. Yeah.
Gosh.
And his voice really rung through during that audition. I remember very much when he went, there's this like part when they sing Shootout where there's kind of like this high part. He hit that. And I was really impressed. But J-Bomb will stick out in my mind. Mm-hmm. I almost voted for him a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah. The next up is Jimin. He is a Libra like Crystal.
Uh-huh. Love it.
And an ENFP like myself. but he was, again, he was in the Monsta X unit with Sungchul and J-Bomb. Jimin, I think that he got the least screen time out of all of the trainees, which really sucks because mm-hmm. I think he had one of the best personalities. He was voted out to ground episode one, and I don't think he got back. Which is just
so.
A shame because I think that Jimin to me showed the best teamwork quality mm-hmm. at the beginning. I really wish that he would have made it to Island at least one just to once at least to experience it.
I agree. I was just gonna say a lot of them have that.
Yeah. Next up is Crystal's fave, Youngbin. We love him. He'd only been training for 4 months, but Youngbin had gone to ground twice, once during episode one and once during episode four. Spill your beans, Crystal.
I know. He was there in Island and he was doing really good mm-hmm. and he even made it back to Island. And then when he got voted back down, that's when I kind of saw it going awry.
South, yeah.
Yeah. The second time back to ground, I was like, okay, this might not be going the way I want it to.
Yeah.
And I just don't think that he... Again, I think that he's younger to it. He's newer to it. You know,
yeah.
He doesn't have that experience yet.
4 months.
So, 4 months, yeah. And
yeah.
I mean, I think there were moments on stage where he could have shown a little brighter, for
mm-hmm.
sure. But I think that he has that potential.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what's really important, what the producers told us to look for is that potential.
True.
So, I'm going to keep an eye on him, and I'm going to wish him the best
yeah.
and see where he goes.
I feel like they called him, like, the mother of Island a lot. And so, and I felt that in his energy. The next one eliminated Nicholas.
Oh, Nicholas.
Let's talk about this shit. This
oh.
shit hurts. This hurted
oh,
so bad.
So bad.
Yeah.
Oh.
Nicholas, I can't say enough about personality and about his danceability.
Mm-hmm.
He just brought such a passion. He's another young trainee, only 8 months training.
Yeah.
But he was a great B-boy and loved R&B music.
Mm-hmm.
He was part of the Super M unit, jopping with Nikki and Hanbin. And he just lit up the stage every single time. I mean, later we're going to talk about something going on Stan Twitter for Nicholas. But, dude, you were the best.
I know.
Yeah, when they announced him 7th place.
Oh, that was rough.
Heartbreak.
Yeah.
And Hanbin with the face in the
hands. Oh, my gosh,
the
face in the hands. man, my heart. Deal. That got me choked up. That was rough.
Oh. There were so many moments where we choked up this episode, you guys. It was bad news bears.
Really, truly. Emotional roller coaster.
Speaking of emotional roller coaster, next up we have EJ or Weeju.
Oh, Weeju. My gosh.
Lord. We, up until the very end, we thought he could have made it in.
I definitely did.
Yeah. I feel like he just... He got so shat on the last episode by the producers and Mnet.
I know.
People were like, oh, you know, EJ, you know, he's good, but there's nothing great. I'm like, what the fuck does that mean?
I know. I know.
But let's talk about his, he did a performance with Daniel, the Zico song, any song, which was so... The energy between Daniel and EJ was so bright.
So bright.
Yeah. He brought... He brought an aura to the performance that I felt like he stuck out very much.
Yeah.
Where Daniel brought the youthfulness, EJ brought the experience. Mm-hmm. And together they balanced each other out during that. And
well said.
Yeah. And I truly feel like EJ is debut material. I hope he gets picked up by another company, to be honest.
Me too.
This is an opinion, people. I truly think that EJ should go to another company. I think that he's run his course with Big Hit and B-Lift. I think that another company would benefit from him very, very much in a debut group. So next is Sungchul. Sungchul, I had to be honest, was one that I didn't connect with initially. He was also in that shootout group. I was not... I'm being a little bit of a voice snob right now because I studied voice in college. I didn't like his timbre. Mm-hmm. I didn't like his tone up front. But as the competition went on, his voice was very unique. And yes. I thought that he was one of the best vocalists the ground had.
Wow.
Yeah. He, 8 months training. He was also, he passed Island, but was eliminated in the four.
Oh, right.
The four, remember?
That's right.
Which was just really unfortunate because mm-hmm. I really feel like he would have connected with a lot of the trainees that were there. Sungchul is also an O3 liner, and he also is ESFJ, Myers-Briggs type.
Yeah, that is.
So
I know, we just didn't get to see enough of a lot of these people.
I just feel really bad because everybody on Twitter, I know you guys agree, there was not enough screen time for some of these people, and we can talk about that, but there wasn't enough screen time for half of these trainees. Just really disappointing. Like, it's sad that I can name on one, almost two hands, how many people didn't get enough screen time.
Mm-hmm.
Next up, we have Taeyong. Taeyong was in Island a couple times. No, I think he was just in Island one time. He was in Ground a couple times.
Yeah.
Taeyong was a trainee for 1 year and 2 months. He is also a ENFJ, which is a very huge leadership type. I feel like when Taeyong was in Island, he showed a lot of service leadership, which is so much different than like the overt leadership that everybody's used to.
Mm-hmm.
He was getting down there. He had people stepping on him.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, if you remember that. And
yeah,
like,
he just did it for the team. Yeah. He was like, this has to be done.
Yeah.
And it hurt, but I did it.
Yeah. And he, he was so great at that role. Like he wanted the best for the team.
He did.
And that was what I really saw in him was like, he was constantly going out for the team, and I really admire that.
Me too.
Next up, we have Kyungmin. Kyungmin was a trainee for a year and 4 months. He was also on the unit with Gonu and Jaeho chained up. I feel like Kyungmin, when they voted him out during episode, what was it? The last episode, when they eliminated him, the producers.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a bad choice, but like... You know, at the end of the competition here, it's like, who's making the most progress?
Right.
And we don't see everything. I thought that Kyungmin was a great performer. He's one of the people that I'm going to be watching for, too, in the future.
And it'll be really interesting to see where all of them end up.
Seriously. I have a little bit of a confession. I've been kind of placing eliminated trainees in different music entertainment groups in my mind.
Oh.
Like where they would be best.
That's fun.
Yeah, like I thought that Youngbin would be great at JYP. He'd be great in a JYP group, kind of like a Stray Kids group.
Yes.
Yeah. Kind of, he's youthful.
Yes. Right.
And I feel like that would be the kind of team for him.
I love that.
Yeah.
Hey, that's a great thought.
And last, but surely not least, we have Yunwon, who sadly withdrew from the show because of a leg condition that he was dealing with.
Yeah.
He wasn't able to compete as well as he wanted to, and he was constantly in pain, it looked like, from the end of episode 5.
So tough.
And it was just really sad to watch.
It's gotta be hard. Like, having been injured myself and having it keep you from something that you love doing, like running or performing or anything, it's heartbreaking. It really is.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think that he's gonna come back. Fellow Aries, again, I felt the energy. I thought he was so great in Ground, and I really was so pissed. So pissed when he got voted back to Ground in episode 4.
No.
He actually, the update on Yunwon last night on Twitter was that he is now back dancing with his crew.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they posted a video.
Yay.
It brought me so much joy to know that he's back in it.
Yeah.
He said that, you know, that he's feeling better and that he's ready to start performing.
Yay.
And it made me so happy because the last thing you want to see is, like, somebody be down and out because of an injury.
Exactly. That's great news. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah. Okay, another one of the really, really hot topics on Twitter has been this. There's been two hashtags that I've seen that have been kind of, they've started a lot of drama on Island Twitter. Number one is hashtag bring back Nicholas. I don't know if you haven't been on Twitter.
No, I've been avoiding it.
Because the episode.
I didn't want to be spoiled. Yeah.
So I'm going to try to bring you in on these hashtags as, like, objectively.
Okay.
And, like, unbiased as possible.
Okay.
So the first is bring back Nicholas. Hashtag bring back Nicholas. A lot of Nicholas stans have been going onto Twitter saying that they would like to see Nicholas be given a second chance.
Mm.
Now, you and I both love Nicholas.
Absolutely.
We voted for him in the global voting, and we both cheered for him during the program.
Mm-hmm.
But what is happening on the hashtag bring back Nicholas trend is many stans are wanting to do mass emailing to Mnet to appeal to them to bring him back.
Hmm.
A lot of the pre-filled out mass forms that I've seen kind of go something like this. You know, Nicholas is a great member of Island. Many fans loved him, and we think that you're doing a great disservice by not including him in the final lineup. And so we would like you to add him as a 13th member to Island. That's what they say. That's what the forums say.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you my opinion, and then I would like, as a first-time hearer of that news, your rebuttal or whatever.
Okay.
So my opinion of hashtag bring back Nicholas, as much as I love Nicholas, is that I don't think it's such a great idea. And here's why. It's not so much that I don't think that Nicholas doesn't deserve to be in Island. I think that he absolutely deserves to be in Island. He was number 7, right behind Hanbin.
Mm-hmm.
My big issue with the mass emailing and the situation is that I feel like it really disrespects those who have been eliminated already. And it also kind of disrespects the global vote, the results of the global vote.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hard process for a lot of us to choose who we wanted to vote for.
Yep.
Full transparency, I only voted for Nicholas like 2 of maybe like the 6 times that week.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to spread my votes out evenly for people that I thought should really make it.
Same.
But I don't see anything from hashtag bring back Nicholas coming to fruition, you know, coming to life, because like I said, I feel like it disrespects some people. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see it really coming to fruition either. And I mean, I totally get everybody's sentiment and why they would say that. Nicholas was really great and he does deserve to be an Island, but so many others also deserve to be an Island, like you said. And I don't think that it's anything that would gain momentum or, I don't know. And the point of the show is that it's an elimination show.
Yeah.
Too. That's what it comes down to. And it hurts. It's hard for all of us to see our favorites go.
Yeah.
And it's just going to get worse. So, I mean, if this is a trend, then this is going to be a trend every week on Twitter.
So true.
I mean, then this is just going to keep coming up because we're so attached to our favorites and we can't keep necessarily doing that.
That's a really great point that I didn't think about. Are we going to try to like mass email every week that somebody gets eliminated that we didn't want to see eliminated?
Yeah.
Like, and I think that it kind of shows people's hand too. Like they're like, oh, well. For example, let's say like, oh, Hee-sung was eliminated this week, but he's the ace, so let's mass email Mnet to try to get him back. We have to trust the process. Even if we don't like Mnet, even if we think that Mnet is evil, it's the process.
Right, it's the process.
And Big Hit's involved as well. Yep. Big Hit is also letting these things happen. I think that we need to hold Big Hit as equally accountable as Mnet in Absolutely. Certain decisions. I know that some people won't because they're Big Hit stans, but I think that there's equal responsibility on the side of the producers to keep things honest and proficient, to keep it going smoothly. Mm-hmm. The second hashtag that's been on Twitter, debut OT12. So a lot of people have been saying that Mnet should debut the final 12 applicants of ILAND in the group, that there shouldn't be any more eliminations, that the people that have made it through are fine. And that any eliminations going forward would be a real disservice to the people who have invested emotionally into these trainees. And I think that there are a lot of people on this side of the hashtag that have a really good point. My beef with it is, again, the fact that some stans are being a little bit aggressive with their mass emailing tactics. As we talked about with hashtag bring back Nicholas, like,
right.
I have a lot of opinions about mass emailing. People will try to defend it by saying, oh, well, the same situation happened with Treasure. You know, oh, Stray Kids debuted all of their members despite JYP trying to eliminate two for drama. All of those valid points. What I'm asking you is, OT12, yay or nay?
I mean, the concept, yay.
Yes.
For sure. Yeah. Of course. Yes. I definitely want all 12 to debut. I mean, I don't want to see anybody else eliminated because that's just absolutely the worst. It's just going to be heartbreaking each week.
I mean, we almost cried multiple times today.
Today, yeah. I don't know how much my heart can take of all this. But no, and who knows? I mean, here's the thing. I'm just kind of along for this wild ride that is ILAND.
Yeah.
So
seriously.
Who knows? They tell us that 7 are going to debut, but who knows? What if they might change their minds?
I am
who
of that knows? Same mind. And I know that there's going to be some people from my Discord group chat that are going to like be like, oh, no, I don't think so. But hear me out, guys. Hear me out, everybody. So like with Pentagon Maker, which is the program that created Pentagon, or the Stray Kids program that created Stray Kids, there have been multiple instances in Korean elimination programs for K-pop where production companies have gone back on their original plan to debut a certain amount of members and debut the whole group.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that is a very real possibility. I think that I just don't like the tactics, I suppose. Mass emailing to me is just kind of...
Yeah, that's where I'm not as big a fan of that.
I just don't think that a mass emailing campaign is like a great idea.
Right.
Perhaps I'm a boomer, but I'm not a boomer at all.
No, I know, right? We're not. We are not.
Perhaps I'm figuratively a boomer, but I would like to see 12 debut. I think it would be a lot of people. I'm on both sides of that issue. Like 12 is a lot. The group 17 has 13 members, and that's one of the bigger groups in K-pop.
Yeah.
So, That's but at the same time, I think that 7 is fine too. 9, 10, whatever. I don't care what the number is. I'm here for the program. I want to make that very clear right now. Like, as much as I love my biases and I love these trainees, it was all about the program from the beginning, the concept of it.
Yes.
I love the concept. Self-governance at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
producers, global voting. It was all very interesting to me.
I agree. I'm just here for the ILAND ride. Like I said, it's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm going to wrap it up with Crystal because we both have a little bit of a time constraint today. But thank you so much for being with me on the Premiere podcast. Yeah, go ahead.
thanks for having me on the Premiere podcast. Yeah. I really love Island. I treasure each week when we get to watch it together. Yeah. And it's so fun to be able to talk about it and then share that with listeners as well. So yeah. I'm really excited.
I plan on having Crystal back as a contributing member of the podcast. We watch it every Saturday, so we're constantly in the same room together. So it would only make sense and be right to have Crystal with me on most of the episodes. But I do plan on introducing some of my other friends as co-hosts. And I really want to involve you Eggies on Twitter and social media in this process. So we put up a Twitter poll this week on our Twitter account at Island Podcast. You can take it every week. We'll have it up for 7 days. You can vote until the podcast records on Saturdays, and then we will share the results and discuss them here in the podcast. This week's poll was, which feature would you add to enhance the Island cam? We had four options this week. There was actual live feed, which is like an actual CCTV of the moments that are happening in this instant. Number two is audio. Number three was different angles and locations of the house. And number four was longer video on demand, because at the current moment, Island cam only has an hour of footage. So we're talking about more than an hour. The poll results, number one was audio. Mm-hmm. 54.8%. 62 people voted. I'm so thankful. Huge turnout. Thank you so much, everybody.
Yes, thank you.
54.8% audio. What do you think about that? That's the one that I voted for.
That's the one I voted for also. Yes. Yeah.
I think that audio. Yeah. There's the U+ Live Idol app that Korean users can use to... They can watch fan cams, and they can like the fan cams, right?
Yeah.
And then whoever gets the most likes that week, I think it's like the top three or something like that, they get exclusive content released of them.
Oh.
Yeah. And so there's been like some CCTV footage of like Jake eating at a table. And like there was one this last week of Hee-sung like out on the deck, just like looking pensively into the distance. And then he looks at the CCTV camera and like, I couldn't help but laugh at it. I was like, dude, me too, Hee-sung, me too.
God, I love that.
But like those moments have audio. Those have audio, but the freaking Island cam doesn't. And it's
makes
so,
no sense.
Again, going back to the Big Brother thing that we mentioned earlier in the episode, like Big Brother has 24-hour live cams of everything that happens in the house, and everything has audio. So I feel a little bit spoiled when I watch Big Brother. So when I first started watching Island, I was like, oh, maybe the like CCTV cam will be live and have audio. But no, it was all pre-recorded with no audio. And let me tell you what, I was pissed. I was pissed with a capital P.
I feel like I had different expectations.
I had different expectations and they were not met. But anyway, I digress. Number two, actual live feeds, 27.4%. I know for a fact that my friend Alan... Yo, Alan, shout out. voted for that one. And apparently some of you others did too. Not a close second place. It got about half of the votes that audio did. But I think that actual live cams would be really cool.
Yes.
Do I think they need to be 24/7 like Big Brother? No, I think that the trainees deserve some privacy, especially for the fact that some of them are minors.
Exactly.
I think that that needs to happen. But like with all Island cams, they say that they have gotten permission and have made the applicants knowledgeable of the fact that this footage is going to be screened online. And so I think that they could do that during certain times of the day.
Yeah.
Just like have the Island voice announced to the boys like, hey, the live streaming is going to be starting right now. It's going to be going on for 2 hours. Please mind your behavior while you're on camera and have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
Yeah, me too. That's why I put all these on the poll, because I loved all of them. Number three, different angles and locations, 11.3%. Shout out to y'all. I put that one on there just because I feel like with a new season, per se, part two, there should be new perspectives. Maybe some more footage from around the Island facility.
Yes.
I don't know.
I
just thought that it would be a little bit fun to freshen things up. Mm-hmm. And then number four, 6.5% longer VOD. Obviously, like, if you chose actual live feed, there's no reason for VOD because, like, that stuff would be airing constantly.
Right.
I want to add right here after the poll another idea that I had for Island early on. was that they should air it multiple times a week, like Big Brother 2.
Yes.
Big Brother airs Wednesday, a live Thursday episode, and a Sunday episode. And the Sunday and Wednesday episodes are always competitions and recaps, and the live show is always the eviction. And so I think that that would have brought a much more present sense of things to the program. You know, like we're watching live, like somebody's being eliminated live. There would be more drama in that, and they wouldn't have to cook stuff up.
Exactly. They wouldn't have to cook stuff up with their editing, would
they?
I think
that that's the biggest... I think that that's the biggest letdown is like they feel like they have to cook shit up for drama when it's naturally occurring.
It's naturally occurring if they would just show up.
Just to bring back the caping really quick, because it really does bug me.
I know.
The editing was so evil.
It was.
But at the same time, Kay's emotions were real.
Yeah.
They were absolutely real.
They were
the
real.
Shaking of the head, that's real. You can't create that.
Exactly.
If something happens, you can't created into existence. It already exists. So the whole like, okay, you know, Kate isn't like that. It's like, he kind of was. He expressed his displeasure with the ranking system. That's a totally valid point of view.
But
at the same time, the hate for Kate was all created from this really bad editing of all of that material.
Yeah.
Like Kate's disagreement with the system and the disappointment was not toward the other members. It was toward the system. And I think that the editing really ruined that. So
I agree. 100%.
Also, in closing, we wanted to acknowledge the news last night that came out that a member of the cleaning crew of the Island production team had tested positive for COVID-19 and has halted, the production company has halted production on Island for at least 2 weeks because that is the precaution in South Korea for anybody who tests positive. So we just wanted to send out our well wishes to all of the Islanders and to the Island staff and production team. We're praying for you. We're thinking of you. We're going to be putting out content during the break. I'm going to find some things. Go on to our Twitter again, at Island Podcast. Send us a DM or a tweet talking about what you want to hear from us. We're going to try to incorporate as much listener feedback as possible in the podcast. Very excited for it. Again, thank you, Crystal, for being with me.
I know. Thanks for having me.
I really appreciate it. And thank you for listening to I Got Pushed, an Island Podcast.